The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
The COVID Dáil Committee is meeting us, and joining us is one of the members of that committee, the Sinn Féin TD for Cavan Monaghan, Matt Carty, of course, back from his Euro sojourn. Matt, welcome to the programme. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Ivan.
Okay, now, there's a couple of issues I want to ask you about what happened at the committee and your reaction. The first is meat plants. We've heard 19, 20 clusters in meat plants. I saw that Meat Industry Ireland were giving evidence. What did you learn today?
Well, it was Meat Industry Ireland, so very little, because they are, by their nature, one of the most secretive bodies in the country, and the sector operates in a way in which transparency isn't always as evident as we would feel that it should be. I think the standout revelation that we heard from the meat industry representatives today was that the HSA inspections, which started far too late, as you'll recall, in terms of the factory inspections regarding COVID-19, but not a single one of them was unannounced. Every single one of them was relayed to the factory in advance of the inspection taking place, which to me defeats the purpose when you're carrying out these type of inspections. For many of the other questions that members had, the answers weren't there or weren't as clear as we would have liked. Questions were raised by myself in relation to the trade unions who are active in a number of the meat plants, who have raised serious questions. While the meat industry were quick to dispute those, they also indicated that they hadn't yet met with representatives of the workers of those plants, despite the requests from organisations such as SIPTA. So, unfortunately, I'll put the positive spin on it. Fortunately, it now appears that there are no active cases in the meat plants, and that's a good thing. And that's largely down to the measures that have been put in place. The questions that remain are whether or not those measures could have been put in place sooner. I believe they could have been, and whether those measures are strong enough to ensure that if we see another wave of coronavirus cases, that the meat plants will be sufficiently prepared to ensure that we don't see the huge numbers that we've seen in the past.
Was there any new information about migrant workers who may be living in, you know, special accommodation apart from their work, where they're, you know, closeted together, maybe in dormitories or things like that? Was there any insight? Was there a particular problem about that?
Well, actually, quite an amount of my time was taken up with the definition of migrant workers, because the meat industry were trying to classify only those who are from outside of the EU as migrant workers. Now, if I happened to be working in Poland or Lithuania, I would consider myself to be a non-domestic worker. But that's by the by. There are particular issues there. The Migrant Rights Centre were in attendance at one of the earlier hearings. They outlined quite a number of concerns with regard to not only the rights and the rights and the supports that have been put in place for workers from outside, particularly those from outside of the EU, but also how those rights have been conveyed to them. Again, the meat industry indicated that there's nothing to see here, that everybody is there because of their love for the job. They didn't accept my premise that perhaps one of the reasons why over 70% of the employees of meat factories are migrants has something to do with the wages and the conditions of those centres. It's not to say that those people aren't very welcome in our country, and I'm sure they're very hard and working and dedicated members of staff. But when you see such a high percentage of people coming from outside of our country in order to get jobs there, then clearly there is signals with regard to the pay and conditions that operate therein. But quite a number of concerns were raised with regard to the level of support and the enactment of the rights that are in place. And
let's
part
move
of
on
that
to
is
schools.
Down to the to the trade unions' ability to actually engage with workers, to be able to converse with their workers, but also to converse and engage with the sector itself, which they appear to be wholly resistant.
Okay, I have to move on to the schools. The issue is that the time, the clock is ticking. Earlier this week, before the committee, Gene O'Kenny asked the ASTI General Secretary what the things would look like in the schools, and he said, well, there won't be any classrooms filled because teachers won't be there. I thought that was a disgrace, to be honest with you. I mean, like, if health workers took that attitude that they couldn't go back to work in the context of some risk, well, we wouldn't have a frontline health service. What did we learn today about getting back? Because there's no childcare for people if they don't have schools operational. The child development educational needs are clear. Get on with it, I say. What's happening?
Well, I can tell you, as a parent of young children, four of whom are school going, I want those school doors open as quickly as possible, Ivan, I can tell you that. But in fact, one of the reasons why we have to ensure that this is done correctly is so that our healthcare workers aren't overburdened, and that the reopening of schools and all education facilities don't become a pivot point for a new spike in cases. So things have to be done right. In terms of what we heard from the department today, we're told that they're hoping to have guidance issued to schools by the end of this month. As you mentioned, the clock is running down. That's going to make it incredibly difficult. But in fairness to the department, they recognise that there's huge logistical challenges in terms of physical distancing, transport, enhanced cleaning, and all the routines that are going to be required. And you know, some areas that's going to be incredibly difficult. You know, it, particularly for those in rural areas where it requires school buses. Are the school buses going to be just full as normal? When you're dealing with younger children, are we going to try and ensure that they have masks on? How is that going to be monitored and implemented? And if it's a case that there's a decision to reduce the capacity on buses, how are we going to deal with all of that? So these are questions that haven't been answered.
These questions were asked in March.
Yes.
I mean, you know, when we were talking about a much shorter lockdown, I mean, like, it was, if you were to say it was unthinkable that they wouldn't have dealt with these obvious questions by the return to school in September. People say this farcical. I mean, like, is there any sense from the committee that we know what the questions are? Where are the answers?
Well, all of the questions, I have to say, in fairness to my colleagues, were asked today. Not all of those questions were answered. And as I say, we're told that in the first instance, the guidance is going to be issued at the end of the month. And as I said, that appears to be incredibly late because at the end of the month, we're into August. Many schools have reopening dates for the end of August or early September. That creates huge logistical challenges, particularly if that guidance suggests to schools that they employ new staff or that they protect some members of their staff who might be vulnerable. How are the new staff going to be recruited? All of these are questions that I don't have the answers for you.
I'm asking you then is this committee turning into a talking shop as opposed to, you know, a shop window to get answers?
Well, what we wanted to be, absolutely, and in fairness to the chair and to the members of the committee, we have come back on all of these issues that we were talking about today. We've come back and we will likely come back again precisely because the answers haven't been forthcoming as we would like, and certainly to the satisfaction of those people who, as I say, all want schools to be reopened. And in fairness to teachers, Ivan, and I know many of them personally, and I've seen it firsthand how many of them have been working above and beyond during the lockdown period in terms of providing online supports and other supports to their students. The vast majority of them want to be back in work in the classroom because it's logistically easier. But we have to ensure that the department, and it's the department's responsibility in the first instance and the minister's, to ensure that all of these questions are answered. Do I wish they were answered already? Absolutely.
Is the committee fit for purpose? Is this committee going to stay sitting or is it a finite committee?
Well, it's a committee that will be reviewed as time moves on. And absolutely, if we feel that it is only a talking shop, then absolutely, I'd be the first to say, listen, wind it down. Let's stop the pretense. In fairness, lots of questions have been answered as a result of the work of the committee. Lots of departments have upped their game as a result of the pressure that we have put on them. But right across the board, and we're getting to a point now where lots of people want to be able to get back to work and they can't, as you say, unless childcare facilities are supported, unless educational facilities are reopened. And there are still far too many questions that remain outstanding. So everybody needs to up their game. And the guidelines, particularly in relation to schools, need to be published as soon as possible. Because undoubtedly, and we've seen this, for example, with childcare, you know, where the department took quite a number of time in some instances to produce guidelines. When the guidance was published, holes were found immediately, because those people who are at the front line involved in the service will be able to find discrepancies and deficiencies in these guidelines. So the later it takes for the department to publish the guidelines, then the longer it's going to take for us to resolve any issues that may be contained in them.
Okay. Not to worry. Sorry for that interruption. Matt Carty on the COVID committee there, still demanding answers. A bit of progress in relation to the meat plants. There's no cases currently, but in relation to the schools, it's Groundhog Day. All the questions and none of the answers. Matt, thank you for joining us.